Amen. Well, we did it, right? Do y'all still have Christmases left to go? Like Patrick, do y'all still have some? Yeah? Awesome. We still do too. We're going to celebrate a little bit with our kiddos today, with our immediate family, and then we're going to head to Florida next week and actually hang out with my sister's family. So that's going to be fun for us. Still more to celebrate. It seems, though, like it comes and goes pretty quickly because we just did all of that. And it is December 26th. So I was just shocked the other day, though, walking through Hobby Lobby, and they already had Valentine's Day stuff out. And so it just seems like they're just pushing right to the next thing. But the thing that happens in between, there's actually other things that happen between Christmas and Valentine's. But what's the next thing coming up, kids? What do we got right around? You're not a kid. I'm just kidding. New Year's, right? So it's funny for me because growing up, that kind of was a non-event, but then we would kind of celebrate big depending on who was in town and who was around. But growing up, our bedtime got later and later, so we would actually get to stay up till midnight. I don't know if you're a kid that gets to do that yet, but our house was the fun house growing up. Our driveway was the driveway to bring all of your fireworks and sometimes things that you created that weren't so legal. And we had the party at our house. But it's strange, because now that I've become an adult, it's really odd. It's one of the strangest holidays, because for grown people that have adults that have jobs, and that typically go to bed somewhere in between 8:30 and 11, we think it's going to be great if we stay up to watch the clock tick to that next minute. And we tend to drink drinks and eat food way late into the night, thinking that the next day is going to be awesome, right? That's going to be the day that we jump in and we start it, right? This is going to be the year, 2022. This is happening this year. And so as I was thinking through that and in New Year's, right after coming off of celebrating the birth of Jesus, it's very weird. We enter into this very selfish headspace, thinking that this is going to be it. And we talked a little bit through that with Advent, that we think all of a sudden we can just turn it on in the month of December, right? And we question ourselves to say, why can't I just do a simple Advent, or why can't I get my life together on January 1st, but realizing it takes work, that it can't just flip a switch. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about goals today, which I don't typically do. I'm not a big goals guy, but I have set them over the past few years, and it's been so helpful. But as we went towards Christmas, some of y'all got equipment. But if we don't plan to change our ways, then we never get to use that equipment. Some of you bought new workout clothes, but if we don't change things on the calendar and make space for that, you're not going to put the clothes on to go work out. You're not going to use the calendar to help you get more efficient or to clean up your house if we don't make time for those things. And so with all of those things, whether it's your Lululemon stretchy pants, did I say that right? I don't even know. Or your bikes or your equipment, your calendars, or your goals list. I want to talk through that a little bit. Because all of those struggles, I'm not here to make fun of y'all today. I'm actually making fun of myself. These are my struggles that I don't actually plan and I don't coordinate and I don't bring people into that space. But the last few years have been different, and it's been helpful to realize even though I'm not a goals guy, goals are important. Whether it's in the church, whether it's working out, whether it's in your marriage. And so that's where we're going to go today. But not even to push that for me personally this year. I'm not doing it because it's 2022. But we've had some weird things happen. For me personally, I have a goals list this year. I wrote in a journal 2 days ago of things that I'm going to change and foods and books and all those things. But it's mainly been a push for me personally because I've had some health issues. And we've had some scares over the last 6 or 7 years with different things. And the last few weeks have been weird, and so I had to go to a doctor. So these are things for me personally that we need to change some things and put in place, and so that's what I'm entering into the new year. Not because it's new year, new me, or because we want to get that chiseled beach body this year. I don't think that's going to happen. So here's where we're going to go. We did this a few years back, and we talked through this a little bit, and I read this quote from the famous Patrick Wimberly, your pastor. But he said this back in, I think, 2016. The joy and satisfaction these goals promise will not last. It's fleeting. Because the moment you accomplish whatever the goal is, there is an emptiness that sets in, a longing. And you will either keep trying to feed that emptiness with the same stuff, with more ridiculous diets and training, or you will realize that there has been something that can truly satisfy, a hope that does not fade. And so as we think about that, what you're entering into, or if you're setting a goals list, it's this constant battle for us in our culture to get in that headspace or not get in that headspace as we enter the new year. And so the question that I want to pose and the things that I want you to think about as we head into this week, as Saturday approaches, coming off of a Christmas morning, is, are we looking to other things to provide for us what only God can? Okay, so are we looking to other things to provide for us what only God can? And so it's this holy calling that the Lord calls us into to fight against an enemy that wants to take our eyes off the Lord and distract us with things. That workout equipment or schedules or planners aren't bad, but he wants to distract us. And so it's this battle for our minds. And if Satan can capture us with stuff, which yesterday is a hard day to battle, if he can capture us with feelings, then he takes our eyes off the glory and off the awe of being in awe of the Lord. And so I'm going to put up a few scriptures on the screen this morning. I'm just going to walk you through a few quotes from Paul. Paul was a guy that often made analogies to physical fitness and to athletic abilities. And so the first one I want to look at this morning is 1 Corinthians 9:27. And it says this, "I discipline my body and keep it under control." And so when Paul says that, he's not talking about 7-minute abs, or my mind reflects back to the 90s commercials with Chuck Norris or Suzanne Summers, right? It's like, that's not what he's talking about. He's not even mentioning this to say, I want you to keep up with the grandkids when they come over. So it's not just to keep up our physicality. Paul was a minister in God's church that disciplined his body so that he could be effective in ministry. He could model what it looked like to follow Christ, to take care of ourselves. That's what he was trying to portray to these young churches, so that they could fully engage and effectively minister to the people around them. And so the physical aspect of this is super important. But in 1 Timothy 4:7-8, we'll put that up as well, Paul tells us the purpose of that discipline and training. 1 Timothy 4:7-8 says, "Train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." So Paul trained for godliness. And I don't know, this is a small crowd. This is the smallest we've had in so long. But if you're new here, I don't know if you know who you're brushing shoulders with, because this church is weird. There is so much physical fitness in this building currently. I'm just thinking through, there's some of you right now that are training for a half marathon. There's one of you that walks in here regularly that can bench press over 400 pounds. That's crazy. One of our pastors can squat, back squat 400 pounds and deadlift 500 pounds. It's not me. That's not normal. And then there's so many other of you that it's my own wife turns into this incredible Hulk when she does cardio workouts. My window faces the Wimberley's driveway, and a lot of you, are driving in and out all day long. Cap's doing this in the back. There are so many people that come in every hour. There's not an hour that I'm sitting at that desk that there's not a car going by, all day long, all week long. And so the talent in this room is crazy when it comes to physical fitness. There's a lot of you that got scholarships in college to go play basketball and other sports. But even if your mile time is not close to a 5-minute pace, or you have abs or you don't have abs, this is what Paul says. He says, physical training is of some value. Says some value. He didn't say, train for the Ironman and up your walk with the Lord, right? He said, train yourselves for godliness, because godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And so Paul's not knocking physical fitness. It's quite important. But Paul actually validates it in that verse. But he's putting it into perspective, to compare, to say this thing is of importance, but godliness is infinitely more important in every way. And then I'll take you to another verse of Paul. You can flip back two books, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And so if we're talking about goals, I don't usually do this, but I'll give you three goals. Here's three goals. And we're going to look at verses 16 through 18, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But three goals to really evaluate, to use as gauges to say, is this where I should be? Do my goals and do my life line up with the Lord's will? So here you go. First, rejoice always. And I was thinking about this. If your goal is to memorize scripture, that's a great one. 5:16, rejoice always, two words. So we've got your January verse. Number two, this is February's verse. Pray without ceasing, three words. You just up your game. First, rejoice always. Second, pray without ceasing. Third goal, give thanks in all circumstances. Why are these the three goals that we can take into the new year? Because this is what he says following this. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. And so if you came in here today, maybe you're not thinking about this, but if you have thought this over the last few weeks or the last few months of asking the question, what am I even doing with my life, right? Or maybe you ask the question, what should I be doing with my life? I think we've all been in that space if we're not even currently there now. And so if we look at these three things quickly, I want you to ask that same question. Are we looking to God to provide these things for us? Are we looking to other things? Are we looking to the Creator, or are we looking to creation? And so if we go through these three things, let's look at the first one, rejoice always. I'll spend a little bit of time here. There's a writer, his name's Sam Storms. He likes to talk about spiritual gifts a lot. But he made this quote. Joy is a deep delight in the splendor of God that ruins us for everything else. I'll read that again. Joy is a deep delight in the splendor of God that ruins us for everything else. And so as you look at that first one, your first goal, rejoicing always, it's not, again, something just to accomplish and move on. But it's this benchmark of sorts to say, do I exist, everything in my life, because everything is centered on Jesus, on the Lord? Do I exist because of what the Lord has done? If it's not, then our joy is not centered in the Lord. And joy not centered in the Lord is actually not joy at all. Joy only comes through the Father and in the Father. So if there is not a deep delight in the splendor of God that ruins us for everything else, then we still have these things that we've talked about this past month, these lesser things that are taking up space in our lives that are not the Lord. We're being guided by lesser hopes. And lesser hopes lead us away from the counsel and the wisdom of the Lord. Another Paul quote or verse, if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 8 through 10, it's Paul modeling this. So it's not based on emotion. Look how he states this in 2 Corinthians. We are treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, which we talked about last week, right? Patrick said that's a kind of moment to say stop, pay attention. So Paul says, we were dead, but behold, we live. As punished and yet not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. From a worldly perspective, Paul's life was a train wreck, or scripture says it was a shipwreck. He shipwrecked many times. He was snake-bitten, beaten, imprisoned, abused, cursed. But what Paul says in these moments, these unhappy circumstances that are taking place, may be emotional and so discouraging. He says, we are sorrowful, but always rejoicing, poor yet rich, having nothing yet possessing everything. That's joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit, a manifestation of God, a supernatural gift that the Lord has given to his church. So when life absolutely kicks us off of our feet, when expectations, and we all have them, you have them for Christmas. I don't know how that went for you yesterday. But when things get knocked out from under us, how do we model joy? How does Paul do this? How do we do this? Not just to survive these big moments, but to give glory to the Lord, to find joy and rest while going through those moments. And so Paul did it by being faithful every moment. It wasn't just to prepare for these big moments. It's not just setting these huge goals that I wrote down in my journal or you're getting ready to knock out on Saturday starting, right? It's not about just slaying those giants, but living through the power of Christ moment by moment. And I thought of King David before he became king, before he slayed the giant, right? He wasn't preparing daily by wrestling these giant 9-foot men, right? He wasn't going and leading nations, but he modeled it by being what? A shepherd boy, a faithful shepherd. And through that faithfulness and the efforts of his vocation, by desiring to show and harness the character of God and what he did, he's able to go and defeat Israel's biggest enemy at the time. And God uses that. And so this tiny shepherd boy and kids, you're not out of it, right? The Lord uses not just adults, he uses all of us for his glory. But despite his size, despite his position, despite his character flaws that we see play out, God uses that. And then he titles David a man after his own heart. And then in Colossians 3, 1 through 2, Paul says this. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. So again, Paul's fight was this moment by moment. It's this constant battle to put our eyes on Christ, to set our minds on things above, and not just the simple short-term goals. Our faithfulness doesn't change when it goes from December 31st to January 1st, right? Paul continually encourages us into this truth that it's only through the power of Christ that Jesus is our only hope in life and death. He says, rejoice always. So hear that. It's not a pipe dream. It's attainable, but through Christ. And then secondly, we have the next one. Pray without ceasing. This kind of goes back to that Sam Storm thought. If our joy is not deeply rooted in the splendor of God, if when we walk throughout our week or it turns January 1st, if we are not rejoicing in what God has done for us, and do not marvel at the grace and mercy that God has shown us through Jesus Christ, it's the exact same thing that we've talked about through Christmas. If we don't look at it and see that the Lord stepped into the rebellion of our lives, into the mess of this world, and laid down his life, and he broke that bondage of slavery that we live in to our sin, then why would we pray? Think about that. A consistent conversation of this deep dependency on the Lord, if that does not exist between us and the Lord, if we do not understand what Jesus has done, if we don't look at Christmas and that story, and we don't marvel in what Jesus has done for us, if we never pick up God's word and read it, why would we approach the Lord? It's the same thing if in any relationship, If I don't speak with you or I don't speak with someone, then how could I have a relationship with them, much less be their friend? I thought about if my wife wrote me letters and she told me how awesome I was or thankful she was for me, but I never read them, then why would I be encouraged in any way, right? Why would I appreciate or throw that back at her if I'm not hearing those things and stirred up myself? If I don't know someone that has been exceptionally kind to me, or I don't know that they've done something for me, then why would I go and thank them? I would not even know to do so. And so we have this aspect that Paul is saying, pray, spend time with your Father, read his word, because prayer is the ultimate act of dependence on God. It's this proclamation to God and to ourselves to say that we cannot save ourselves. When we pray, we're acknowledging that we're 100% that our joy and our rest is found in God alone. And part of that, he doesn't say that in that scripture, but it's reading God's word. That's pretty clear in the rest of scripture. Part of it is hopping into God's word because it's literally God's words to us. And so the Lord has given us his Holy Spirit to guide us and counsel us through that. And so when that's paired with his word, we get this really beautiful back and forth conversation that we get to have with the Lord. And then James 5:16 says this, the prayer of a righteous person has great power. It says, has great power as it is working. And so if we're wanting to set goals, I know I'm attacking something that's just, it's coming up. But if you want to set goals and resolutions that you actually have the power to accomplish in that matter, it's only going to be founded in a believer that prays and reads God's word. That's the only place it's found. And so when you do that, when we're rejoicing always, when we're praying without ceasing, then and only then, that's when we get to accomplish number three, that we can give thanks in all circumstances. And so it's this life of continual gratitude that flows from your heart, my heart, the heart of a believer who spends time with his Savior. And so I don't know some of you, new faces this morning, but you might walk in here and think that's not me in any way, or I might struggle with these things from time to time. We all do. If you're looking at those three things, it's this constant battle for the Lord to harness our attention and to say, look upon these things. That's why Paul says, look here. Look to things above. Look to what the Lord is doing. But we often ask questions, or I do, of saying, why do I still get angry after all this time and I know what the Lord has done for me? Why do I still get angry in this area, right? Or why am I so sarcastic? That's a struggle for some of you. We ask the other questions of, why can't I just let people into this aspect of my life? Or some of you, why can't I just let people into my life, right? We've all asked these questions. And so I want to press into those. Those are real questions, and we honestly hush them with gifts and schedules and busyness, but when we get quiet and present that before the Lord, he deals with that. And I want to invite y'all into that with us, to say, let's deal with those things for the glory of the Lord. And so part of one of the things that we do at Christ Church for that, whether you're new or you've been around here since the beginning, is we do mission and vision. And sometimes that happens every year. We've done it every other year at times, but this year we're doing it coming off of last year of doing it. And so it's going to be this beautiful space of going through some familiar scripture, but asking the Lord again what he's calling us to. Being reminded through these scriptures of what are we doing here, right? And so I'm going to ask you to pray with us during those 5 weeks. That's coming up next week. We'll start, and we're going to have 5 weeks. And I want this to be a time that we get to evaluate together, where are we as a church? Do our lives fully engage the Lord's will, as that verse ends in saying? Are we looking to the Lord, or are we looking to other things to provide for us what only God can? And so, it's going to be different for all of us, but hopefully it's a place to pray with our small groups, meeting with the Lord and with other believers, to ask for clarity for our families, to ask Him to grow us as a group, to evaluate these goals that we may or may not be making over the next few weeks, and then to remove sin from our lives. And so one aspect, when we look at God's word with prayer, He sometimes couples this thing that we don't really like to talk about. I'm going to ask you for it, though, is fasting. And I don't know what your initial reaction to that is, but some of you can't fast from food. Y'all have medical issues. We've walked through that in the past, so that's not something that you can do. Everybody in here is in a different spot. Some of you don't even know what that means to fast, or you have a really bad taste in your mouth of how that's gone with other churches and leadership of walking through that. And so I'm going to ask you to consider over the next 5 weeks to pray with us, but also to fast. And I don't want you just to make your decision right now. I don't want it, I'm out. I don't want you to say, yeah, I'm in. I want you to consider it, to put some prayerful thought behind this as we step into the new year. And so for most of that, that might mean praying and then just putting up a simple reminder, saying, yeah, I'm going to engage with Christ Church during this season. And some of you just need a reminder. You need a sticky note on your computer that says, hey, you need to fast tomorrow, or you need it in your calendar. For me, we've been fasting with the elders and our wives the last 3 months on Wednesdays. And I just said at the very beginning, I need a reminder. I'm going to forget. With life right now, with 4 kids, with us moving and kind of in limbo, if someone would just remind me on Tuesday night. And so Amy's been super faithful to remind us of that. That's been super helpful. It's a simple text message that tells the whole group, hey, we're thinking about this. Keep going. And so a simple text message from the lady with 6 kids, you know, reminding the guy with 4 kids to get your life in order. It's helpful. And so I'm going to ask y'all, from the time that you wake up on Thursday morning until Thursday at lunch, we're going to move it from Wednesday to Thursday, that this would be a focused time of praying. Either while you're at work, while you're getting ready for your day, some of you are doing homeschool, some of you are public school, some of you are selling homes, some of you are doing bank stuff, whatever your Thursday looks like for that short period from the morning till lunchtime, we're going to ask that y'all would consider to fast and to pray. And then I'm going to let your small group leaders know too. And so we'll send out some content and just a reminder through them to get creative in your groups about how we jump into January. If you're not in a small group, this would be a good time to let me know. And we'll get you into a small group, just another aspect of encouragement. And so again, you might not be able to give up food. That might not be a reality for you. Pray. That's why I'm asking you, maybe slow down and consider what this would look like. For some of you, you might need to give social media up for a day or forever. Others of you, you might just give up some snacking or TV or internet or whatever would provide space for the Lord to occupy more of our thoughts, to take Him up on that idea of putting our mind on things above. And then some of you, if you're prideful like me, you're like, oh, Thursday morning, I can do like the whole day. Like, okay, sure, do that. That's great, and I think that would be wonderful if you can do that. I'm going to ask most of us to consider that small time. Let's start small and see how that goes for 5 weeks. And then the other thing I want to be very clear, as we've walked through this just for 3 months and in the past when I fasted before, things get a little crazy sometimes. Because what we're doing, we're engaging the Lord to say, sift me, evaluate us, make us healthier. And when we don't let people or the Lord into the chaos of our lives, or we can't even see blind spots, they're blind spots because we're blind to certain things, but we ask the Lord to come into that space, it can get messy. And we've seen that over the last 3 months. Some really hard things. But coupled with that is really beautiful things. Because I wrote this down because I was thinking, why? Why does it have to be hard, and why does it have to be good at the same time? Why can't it just be good? But a painful adjustment that leads our hearts to be eternally aligned with God's will are the resolutions we want to make as believers and co-heirs of the kingdom of God. And so we want to grow to look more like Jesus. cool if we, you know, make some physical gains, or we get our house cleaned up a little bit, or our schedules more orderly. But we want to make adjustments that last for eternity. And I think we can all get behind that. If it lasts for eternity to give the Lord glory through the time that we have here together. And so we're going to send out more details on that. That'll probably come out in a newsletter, or we'll send content out to your small groups, mainly as a reminder. If you need encouragement on what fasting looks like, we can provide scripture for that. One big way that is already in place and I think would be super helpful in this is we shifted it to Thursday from Wednesday so that we could start our fast in prayer. And so what do we do on Thursday mornings every week? We have online prayer that we've had 20 to 30 people the last few months showing up for. And so from 6:30 to 7, we start off in prayer every Thursday morning. And so that would be a great place to start our fast and then fast together till lunchtime. And then this week, I'm going to end on this. I read this quote, thought it went well. It was a pastor talking to other pastors, saying, when people walk through the door on Sunday morning, consider this. And he makes this quote. Of those who have gathered for worship, there are those distracted by grief, anger, discouragement, loneliness, envy, frustration, despair, or hopelessness. Because the glories that they have looked to for their meaning, purpose, and inner happiness have failed them once again. These glories have proven to be more temporary than they thought they would ever be. And they have been more elusive than they seemed at a distance. They have blown up in their faces or dripped like sand through their fingers. And even when they were wonderful to experience, they didn't, in fact, leave their hearts satisfied. The buzz was short and the satisfaction elusive. So I think that describes a lot of how we feel often. When we kind of come up short after we've put hope in certain things. And so that's what we want to pray through. It's just that the Lord would have our allegiance. And if there's things in our life that he doesn't, then to ask him to bring that out and to deal with it, although painful, eternal adjustments for the glory of the Lord is what we want to get behind. That might be physical for you. There might be things in our life that we have to clean up in different areas. It might be that you need to purchase some workout equipment or just go to the gym or simply show up and run with some of these people and work out with them. But I want to put the emphasis that Paul does on saying that we don't want to be a mediocre people that sets lower expectations than what the Lord has set for us. Right? He wants our good and our hope to be established in him. Not a people that are looking to lesser glories, as what was just said. But to be a people that are in awe of our God. Because when that plays out, and our hearts are transformed by his power and his love, then we are truly able to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Okay? Let's pray.